We will go ahead and begin our post-race media availabilities. We are now joined by our race-winning crew chief, Chris Gale. Chris, congratulations for two in a row. Can you just talk us through the race today, tonight?
Yeah. You know, I think we thought we were going to have a lot better car based on practice and qualifying than what we did. Didn't really have a good enough long-run car and probably not the speed that the 12 car had by any stretch. Worked on it all day, got it a little better. Caught the one caution right there in stage two to kind of get the track position back from where we had lost it earlier. You know, it's kind of unique, right? We pitted with the three laps on tires early, which was probably the wrong call on my part, but even then we had a bad pit stop, right? And we lost five spots on pit road from all the guys who took tires, and the 23 was able to get positions back, and we were kind of stuck. So that caution stage two really helped us there. But I knew then that, right, that the pit crew was disappointed about that, but it's like, okay, that's one thing to be disappointed about, but it's not going to be your last opportunity. I didn't know necessarily how this was going to play out to where they would have the opportunity on the green-white checker to get the win. So, you know, for those guys, man, they are just villains. I mean, they just want that moment to where they can go in there and just rip everybody's hearts out and win the race and walk away and don't care what anybody else thinks, unapologetic, and they're just awesome. So I'm happy to be part of their team pretty much.
Awesome. Well, congratulations again. We'll go ahead and open it up for questions. If you have one, please raise your hand, and we'll get a mic over to you. We'll start right here in the middle with Jacob.
Jacob Seelman, Race Face Digital. Chris, what's the challenge on a day like today when you have somebody like Byron who is so, so good for so, so long, and you're just sitting there looking at that back bumper and knowing you're trying to find something to get close to that 24, but obviously before it plays out the way it does at the end, it's kind of a tough battle there.
Yeah, I mean, you were looking at, you know, certain cautions and how are the long stretches. Is there going to be some way we can get an advantage with what we have versus others? And we knew we did not have a strong car on the long run, and we thought we were going to be disadvantaged by, you know, it would have been great to short pit. One play we could have short pitted really early, and then had we caught a caution, maybe we'd been okay. But if you don't and that thing plays green, we were really bad after 50 laps, and then we knew we were going to give everything back towards the end. So you just look for that unique opportunity to kind of do something different. And then where they pit, we knew they were going to get short pit by the 45 once he came. It kind of played out to where, okay, we should be able to get back past them as long as this plays out and goes green to the end. I don't think we accounted for the 12 being quite that strong. We knew he was strong, but he was far enough back that we didn't quite see him coming. And then he had enough pace, it didn't really matter. So I think that's it. Just looking for something unique to either caution-wise or could you go long or short in a different scenario and make it play out in your favor. When, especially in our situation, I talked about it last week, right? We've got the one win from last week. You can kind of do something different as long as it makes sense and play to a caution or something that might help you get some track position when that's really what we needed. I don't think we would have held off the 12 car and maybe not the 24 on equal tires on a restart for more than – you know, 10 laps, but you don't know. You need to give yourself that opportunity to find out.
And you alluded to it, what you said last week about how, okay, a win opens up the playbook. How big does the playbook open now with two wins in the bank?
I mean, I think it's the same, right? I think you all the 50-50 calls you can try to flip and push towards playoff points, however that suits you, you know.
We'll come down here to Jordan in the middle and then in the back to Tim.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. How much of a track position race was this today? Because it just looked like it was so hard to pass.
Yeah, it was. I think if you were listening to our radio, I think you heard Denny say a couple times, he's just like, I just need clean air. I can't get, like, I'm just where I am. You know, we weren't good enough. So, like, after you had run probably 50, you know, we fell off on that one run. But that's the last 10 laps. But even through, you know, 40, 42 laps, it was hard to pass. I think you saw that, right? Once everybody flipped track position after that caution, the 45 came through there. Not many others came through that quickly, the 12 a little bit, but that was it.
So we've seen this car race so well on intermediate tracks, mile and a half. Why does track position matter here so much compared to, like, say, Kansas or something like that where you have more movement? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think you have more movement at Kansas, more multiple grooves where you can go where you're in clean air and still run fast laps. I think that especially once tires wear here, it gets, you know, you have a little bit of the bottom in 3 and 4, but the car's got to be really good to do that. Once a guy's up in the wall in 3 and 4 after there's more than, you know, 15, 20 laps on tires. And then even in 1 and 2, it gets to be hard to find, like you're searching for gray and trying to find places to pass. But that's my take. That'd be a great question for Denny. But I think that what I see is there's just nowhere to go where you aren't affected by the air. Whereas some places like Kansas, with multiple grooves, you can really get out of the air and still keep runs.
We'll go in the back to Tim, and then right up here in the front to Bob.
Tim, Moore Motorsports today. Chris, you alluded to the 45 strategy. I'm just wondering from your side, I know Christopher was very surprised how quick 45 kind of got through, undercutting them only by two laps. I know you guys went longer, but were you guys surprised how big of a gap Reddick had with their strategy?
No, I think we look at all those scenarios, and then you fit it to like, okay, what do I have for a car today? Because we had talked about that strategy, and we're like, okay, we don't have a good long run car, so if we do this strategy, we're rolling the dice for a caution before they get to us, you know, and that we don't fall off really heavily in the last 10 laps if we're at a, you know, 60 lap run towards the end of the race. And if it goes green, we're going to be way worse than second or third based on our long run strategy. But, you know, that was an option that we had discussed trying to pull the trigger on potentially, but it's just a play for a caution. You know, for them, they had probably had a little better long run speed, or maybe they didn't quite know. And they're like, okay, this is the only one that works for us. We're behind the 11 already. So if they go long, we can't do anything different. And it might've just been that for them.
And I'm wondering to get your feelings and emotion. Last week, of course, Denny comes out, has the fastest car all day and comes out. But is it more fulfilling this week to have a team effort come up there in a big moment and you guys show a very big clutch moment to get a win?
Well, I'm super pumped for the pit crew. I think, yes, the unity in the team, this is awesome for them. Their confidence, right? They've been P1 for a while. They've been the best pit crew. But to be able to, you know, show that with a win directly from what they did on the last pit stop, is super for them. You know, for me, from a standpoint, I'm going to nitpick the car and upset that we didn't have a better car, didn't have a better long run car. The things we tried to do didn't necessarily work out as well as we had hoped. But from a team standpoint, I love it. I love that, you know, at least the camaraderie with all those guys and getting to enjoy that moment with them is there.
Come down here to Bob.
Bob Parker's Fox Sports. Denny talks a lot about getting to 60 wins. I was curious. 2 weeks ago, were you thinking, how in the world am I going to get him to 60? And now are you like, man, maybe should we try to get 60 before the playoffs?
Okay, Bob, no pressure, right? You're pushing the number higher now, okay? I don't worry about it, to be honest with you. I was worried about that first one. I think I alluded to this last week. I knew, you know, I'm coming in filling big shoes for Gabehart. He's been with Denny for that long. I'm the only change. So very clear in my mind that I'm not naive enough to know that I need to win and win early. So last week was great, right? We were able to win with a different setup, with something we worked on, came up with, and have car speed, and to get that out of the way. This one, you know, I was surprised. We didn't obviously just had the right scenario, but, you know, you take those, right? You take all the ones that you can steal somehow and then get all the ones that you're the strongest car, and you'll be in good shape. We won't worry about – if we get to 60, I don't know. I'll have to think if I'm going to go that long if he gets to 60.
We'll come down here to Chris and then over here to Dustin.
Chris Murdoch, NASCAR.com. Apologies if this has already been asked. I was spending some time out there on pit road with your pit crew, and they were just so appreciative of the moment coming down on the money stop. When you're up on the box and it comes down to that in that situation, what kind of words of encouragement, motivation, or what is it like on top of the pit box when it comes to that?
I really just encouraged them on the radio. You guys don't hear it because we're talking on a private channel, but I just basically said, this is the stop that's going to matter. I got confidence in you guys. Let's go get it. Let's go get the win right here. And nothing more than that. Like, we have these conversations in the shop, and I can tell you the one thing that every one of those guys has come to me about is that situation and how much they want to be in that situation, right? Some people shy away from that moment and, right, get nervous and like, ooh, I don't want to fail. These guys are completely the other way. They're like, give me the opportunity and let me try it, you know? And I think that's – you just can't commend that enough. You need that kind of culture and that kind of outlook from everybody on your team.
All right, we'll take one last question here from Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Chris, can you just give me a sense in terms of strategy play with that last green flag cycle?
Yep.
Was there really anything that anybody, any other crew chief did that was surprising? I mean, wasn't it pretty much you're in a certain position, you probably need to pit early, you need to pit late, type of thing, that it was more of a formula than really a crew chief doing something out of the ordinary?
You know, I don't know. You could argue I didn't look completely at the 45's long run pace. I would say that, you know, they knew that maybe since it was such a track position race and hard to pass, they're like, okay, if I can get in front of the 24 and capture this, then I can control the race. Like I said, I knew that we probably couldn't do that based on we had done the 60 lap stint earlier and really bled time bad with 10 to go in that. So we kind of knew what we were stuck doing. it does become a little bit of a formula. I guess there's a wild card that could happen every now and then where you have somebody in the playoffs that does something that, you know, is further back in the field, you know, and maybe short pits more than you would expect and just expects a caution. And, you know, they got a 10-lap window to do it that could be different. Outside of that, I wouldn't say anything surprised me. But it was, you know, unique seeing the difference.
And to follow up, I guess, you know, in other sports, you know, we hear coaches study the tendencies of other coaches, yep. And they know things. Look, I know you had some good runs with Ty previously, but maybe not as regularly up front competing against some of these particular crew chiefs.
Yep.
Are there tendencies or things that you're going to have to or having to learn because maybe you're going head-to-head against some of these guys more often or should be more often throughout the year and into the playoffs, since you're new to relatively?
Yeah, I think I've always paid attention to it, even though it didn't, you know, necessarily play out in a winning the race situation or not. But you're still doing that. If you're running P10, sometimes you're still racing against Billy Scott and all this, and you tend to know, okay, will he take two tires or four tires in this situation? Will he short pit versus long run? I think that we all kind of know a little bit of that. You know, it's nice to break tendencies a little bit for that, but only when it makes sense, right? It has to line up and have the pay the dividends potentially from some expected outcome.
All right, Chris, thank you for your time. Congrats on the win.